Colm and Lucy podcast with Colm Hayes and Lucy Kennedy
from Nova.ie and Radio Nova.
Welcome along to another Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show podcast. Oh, guests everywhere you look in this podcast. John Connors pops in to say hello. Deirdre O'Kane pops in to say hello. And that's the end of the guests. We have a... No, it's not, actually. We have Colin Farrell, because we have a movie review for Dumbo the Elephant with our man of the movies, Clinton. Colin Farrell pops in. There's a lot of popping in. Simon Darcy, who created a very special game, he pops in, but only on the phone. And kids do, and say the darndest things. We'll be talking about that, and also we'll be talking to a few callers as well. This is just so exciting. I can't wait. It's the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show podcast.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show.
John Collins, Hello. Radio Nova.
John Collins!
Hello.
Good morning, John.
Award-winning love-hate actor. We have to say that he is an award-winning actor. Thank you for gracing us with your company.
Thanks for having me.
And presently in the Viking Theatre down Clontarf Road, and that's till this Saturday with your one-man play.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How's it going? Fill us in. I've obviously seen a little sneaky snippet of this when we lived together. But tell people about it.
It's going great, yeah. We started off in New York to an interesting reception. It wasn't really a theatre sort of audience. It was more of a gig audience and a lot of expats screaming. But they loved it. It's about all the cheerful subjects, I suppose. Racism, abuse, the Catholic Church.
Light
classism, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All happy Irish.
But it's quite funny stuff, though. Yeah. It's got funny bits
in it. It is actually, yeah. It's like, has all these heavy themes, but the trick is that it is funny. Like, the first 15 minutes is, I'm telling the story about how James, who I'm telling the story through, wants to go to Ibiza. Mm. And his dream was to always go to Ibiza, him and his friends, since they saw Kevin and Perry go large.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of comedy until it kind of hits you, punch to the stomach at a certain point.
But so, it's you sitting on a stool, straight down.
Yeah, thanks for spoiler alert there.
Never said that before, but yeah, thanks.
But it's you on your own.
Yeah, it's me on my own.
On a stool.
Yeah.
And like, do you get off the stool? Do you jump around?
Oh,
do you
we're
get
not
changed?
Get
do you put on
that.
Wigs or costumes? Like, come on, John.
That's a surprise.
Did you write it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is this your first major play to write?
First play to write, yeah. I just wanted to do with theatre because it's the language, the medium is language.
Yeah.
And as opposed to cinema or film, like, you're trying to kind of tell more without words. So that appealed to me because of a lot of things to say about Ireland.
Yeah.
And it kind of wrote itself, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I wrote it in a couple of sit-downs and it was just a two-hour monologue, essentially.
Right.
And then I got the director.
Yeah.
No, it's not now. It's an hour now.
But
I got the director on board, Jimmy Smallhorn, who helped me edit it and reconstruct it and, you know, and it's kind of developed since then.
Which John, a question. Lucy Kennedy, Virgin Media. What do you do if you need to do a wee-wee during it?
Just hold it in.
Thank you.
It makes you
You're
more excited.
You're always asking bowel movement questions. Like, why do you always do that?
No idea. Just to say, we're Facebook Live at the moment because this is also part of our first live caricature, which Lucy is actually...
Oh, I'm the first.
You're the first.
Right.
Well, I was a test guinea pig yesterday in the office.
Okay.
So we won't reveal that
but
one.
But I did call him naked by mistake and he looked like Mr. Burns.
Yeah, a little bit. So was Love Hate the big breakthrough?
Yeah, I suppose, like, Love Hate because, you know, 1.5 million people were watching it per week. So it was a bit of a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I didn't really know what was coming, which was absolute madness and still is madness.
Just walking down the street.
Walking down the street, you get mobbed. Like, one person gets you, they're suddenly queuing up around the corner for to do selfies with you. So
that's a
bit bizarre.
How do you deal with that?
Not very well.
Yeah, just thinking, yeah. Because you seem like a sort of a shy bloke.
I'm private, put it that way. Yeah. So it's not, it wasn't something that I did very well with, but I've learned to kind of deal with it now. And the thing is, you don't want to be that person that says no to these things. You don't want to be that bad rep. You don't have that bad rep.
You don't want to punch a photographer, okay?
Exactly. So, well, you do want it, but you don't.
But also, you got to sort of play that game as
well. Yeah, and you have to remember that every person that comes up to you, it's the first time they've come to you, themselves.
Yeah.
They don't know that 200 people has already asked you for a selfie that day and that you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
They don't know that, so.
But also...
Do you still get asked for selfies for Love Hate fans?
Oh, yeah. Love Hate and the Cardboard Gangsters as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Cardboard Gangsters is kind of cool. I don't know if anyone... Well, people have seen it, of course. Have you seen it?
I haven't, but my son saw it and he absolutely loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, so
he brought me around
list.
To where all the different scenes are filmed.
Yeah, we had some interesting things happen.
Some interesting encounters.
It's all filmed around Darndale.
Yeah, all filmed around Darndale.
So just to say that also coming out in November, Living with Lucy...
one of the episodes.
No, it's coming in September.
September.
Lucy shit in me bed.
No, I didn't. His cat.
You did. You did. That's a spoiler alert.
No,
you
no,
shit no, on I the bed.
Okay,
I went in, honest to God, I just put it in and she shit in the bed and said, I have to go to the toilet. Is that not true, Lucy?
It's a poo. No,
well,
it's
everybody,
not true.
Everybody will see.
So everyone will see. I moved in with John. It's all going to be on the telly. I moved into
it was disgusting, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you this, the headline for tomorrow.
Don't listen to him.
No, she did. She shit in the bed.
You
did do it, Lucy. Don't even lie.
When did I move into camp?
I don't know.
What day was it?
2 years ago, was it?
It was the best 3 days of your life.
Yeah.
So I basically moved in and John was showing me around his gaff. I did clean his kitchen.
Yeah.
And I used your
mirror.
And
you got drunk every night.
What was your mirror that I used?
Swallowing wine. She's a wino. Do you know that?
He knows.
I couldn't believe it. Like, she couldn't go to bed without wine.
John.
I had to go and get her wine. She was getting really grumpy. You know?
What was the mirror that I
John,
used?
You're like
really
a dream come true.
The truth.
What was the mirror that I used in your kitchen to brush my hair and you were really insulted?
Oh, the James Connolly mirror. Where James Connolly was ingrained into the mirror and you were using it to put on your makeup. And I was like, what are you doing? That's James Connolly. Who? I said, are you actually serious?
I was.
This is like a couple of years after like the 100-year anniversary and you don't even know who James Connolly is.
Anyway, I moved in. He was bringing me on a tour of the house. And he said, there's my spare room, blah, blah, blah. His mother, even at his age, cleans his gaff and
John,
made the bed.
John, do you know
and
what?
Then there was poo on my bed. And
you
it was
shit
cat.
On the bed.
Misty. John.
Do you know the camera will reveal all.
Do you know what, John?
The camera will reveal
you all. And me just need to set up a little WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And it's called Save Us From Lucy. And we can just share, because everything you're saying, I completely agree
it's
with.
It's all the truth. She's a raging alcoholic.
He loves it.
I pity her husband.
He loves
honest
it.
To God. I don't know how he puts up to you.
He loves it.
The other thing as well is, is it your niece, your cousin now?
Oh, my aunt, Sharon.
Your aunt is in.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened there?
Ireland's Got Talent, yeah. So
okay, you tell
have
the story
to give Lucy the credit, I suppose.
Yeah.
We're having a little sing song around the fire and I got Sharon out to sing and she sang and Lucy got the sound woman and they ended up recording Sharon and sent it to the producer or whatever. Yeah. Some little back deal was done and corruption totally. Yeah.
Excuse
and,
me, it was not corruption.
Sharon was discovered, I suppose, by Lucy, so I give her the credit.
Yeah.
But she's the best.
So she's now got through to the semi-finals.
Yeah,
is
semi-finals.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so Sharon is on. Yeah, so for the first semi-finals, Ireland's Got Talent is this Saturday night, 7:30, Virgin Media One, and Sharon Ward is one of the contestants.
Very good.
It's going to be so weird.
What's that?
Sorry, this is a caricature.
What's that? Come on now, you're messing. You are messing.
Be quiet. Just tell everyone.
That looks like a gremlin.
Tell everyone
or something.
About your one-man show.
We will reveal all this in a few minutes' time. Just to say, you're there till Saturday,
this
30th
Saturday.
March at the Viking Theatre in Clontarf Road. We're going to take a track. We're going to have a look at that Instagram thing. Or sorry, your caricature.
And then let's talk about John's love life.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
John Connors is in studio. Just to say, John is at the Viking Theatre in Clontarf Road till March. Saturday, March 30th.
Saturday's your last show.
Yeah.
Can I ask you then what's next?
What's next?
Can you tell us? Or
I'm writing four or five other things. I'm writing my second play. I'm writing a feature-length script and I'm co-writing other stuff. But I'm doing bits and bobs. I'm directing as well. I'm just directed a documentary that's going to come out soon. A two-part series.
Cool.
About a girl, yeah. About a girl and a father who are kind of going through illness together.
So you're just busy all the time.
Yeah.
He is busy.
Yeah,
and are you still doing your acting, your coaching?
Yeah, doing some of them when I can fit them in, the acting class and stuff like that.
They're brilliant. I went to one of them.
Right.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get involved.
I would get involved.
And you were
too embarrassed.
You totally bitched out. And you disappointed me because I thought you were brave.
I am brave.
And you just totally bitched out and you wouldn't get in. And everybody else in the class, even people who never acted before, got up and you wouldn't get up because you were trying to maintain your ego.
No, I just, you know, I love this man.
Do you?
Well, He speaks the truth.
Let me explain what happened. So he does these classes, right?
Yeah,
they're strangers. And he goes, okay, right, you two up, okay. So here's your subject. So it could be like fighting over, I don't know,
And then,
in silence, two people have to act it out.
Silent improv.
So I begged him. I said, no, please, don't pick me. And then, of course, he goes, Lucy! No way. In front of like all these like...
Like, and this is on her show, Living with Lucy, and she wouldn't get up.
No.
Like, what? Just bluff.
Total
bluff.
Of course
bluffed.
I would.
Would you?
Of course you would.
Yeah, I've
would
done you? Acting classes
of course
and jazz improv
you
and
done
silent
jazz improv.
I've done French mime. You know?
Deadly.
Which doesn't work well on radio.
No, it doesn't.
Here's a little bit of it. So anyway, so can
it's
we
good.
Just now see the caricature? If you'd like to show it to John there.
Oh my god. Like I thought
you
were doing this with you because you were actually semi-talented at this. But that's a joke. That looks like Chucky the doll. Look at the size. It's my face that size.
No, so everyone's.
Well, at least my body's small in it anyway, which is a lie.
Look, it's
inaccurate, it's not real, it looks like
actually,
Shrek.
It doesn't look like Shrek.
There's no detail in it whatsoever.
Excuse me, there's no.
You're terrible.
You do have big guns.
I don't have cross eyes.
No, but you have big guns.
Yeah.
No, okay. I don't.
So anyway, that's day
you're
one.
Welcome.
Day one.
You're welcome.
She's terrible.
I thought she was going to be talented, like.
Day one of our.
She's obviously not talented whatsoever in any way.
Right.
He slags me. You know, guys slag you. It means they really love you.
Just before we finish, as we do with all our guests, we have the last five questions. So it's the last five questions you'll ever be asked by us, anyway.
Okay.
Exactly.
No, I know the committers, aren't we?
You're going to get shot.
Yeah, it does sound quite, you know. Well, anyway, it's the last five questions. So question five, what's the last movie you watched?
The last movie I watched, that was The Wrestler. Mickey Rourke for about the 50th time.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah.
Even though he has Titanic in his kitchen cupboard.
I don't.
Okay.
I do.
Children.
That was not mine.
Children.
Yeah.
It is yours.
Children.
Okay. What was the last takeaway you've had?
The last takeaway. Oh, do you know what it was? I've been on this diet now for the last 3 months, and the other day I was in Wexford and I was just real angry when I got off the stage. I don't know what happened. Oh. And I just went straight in and I got a fish and chips and I just devoured it in about 10 seconds. It's like I didn't even taste it. I just swallowed it.
Oh, wow. What an attractive
salt
sight.
Vinegar. Yeah.
What time did you go to bed last night?
Last night I went to bed about 1 o'clock. It takes a couple hours after you come off the stage to come down. So.
Okay.
When was the last time you wore a hat?
2 days ago, wearing me paddy cap.
Okay.
Oh, your paddy cap.
I wear paddy caps, yeah.
Paddy cap. And when's the last time, John Connors, you cried?
Actually, The Wrestler.
When I left.
The Wrestler. I deliberately put on The Wrestler so I can cry.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's not a real cheesy film, but it's raw and visceral. And it's the comeback in the end and this idea that he's doing it for the fans. And I always cry.
So does that get you then into a mood for writing, or does it release it?
No, I just like crying. It's cathartic.
Sorry, can I interrupt? I just can't continue on with these lies. The last time he cried is when I left the camp.
That was a celebration.
I tell you, the WhatsApp group is starting in 5 minutes. John Collins, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank
Good
you
to
so
see
much
you,
for
pal.
Coming.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Chatter,
chatter, chatter, chatter.
Everyone's
just talking.
Susie, calm down. It's Our Man at the Movies here. And just to tell you, Our Man at the Movies is brought to you by the Gaiety School of Acting. From kids' camps to stand-up comedy to public speaking, it's time to take centre stage in your life.
A lot of good actors have come out of the Gaiety, my good friend Colin Farrell.
Okay, and we head over to Clint now.
Future husband.
Who's now going to talk about Colin Farrell.
It was lovely to meet Colin Farrell at the Intercontinental in Dublin last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He was in town for the premiere, the Irish premiere of Dumbo.
Did you put this on my Instagram?
I did. You can see this on your Instagram, Lucy Kennedy. You can see this on nova.ie.
Very good.
Me chatting with Colin. A lovely, lovely fellow. Of course, he's done the reimagination of the 1941 classic Disney flick. Of course, about the beautiful big-eared elephant that gets picked up in a circus and gets told to perform. Here's a little taste.
Dumbo! This is it, just like in rehearsal. Except for lights, music, fire. You can do it.
That's the voice of Danny DeVito there, also in this film, alongside Michael Keaton. Tim Burton reuniting them. Of course, he did the Batman films with him. And the first time Colin Farrell has worked with Tim Burton. My new pal, he calls me at the end of this. Me and my friend, Colin Farrell.
Oh. G'day, Colin.
Well, hey, Clint.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you from?
Well, that's an Aussie accent.
Yeah. I just picked it up, yeah.
I'm spending more time in Ireland these days. But
so where did you grow up?
Perth was home.
Okay.
Did you make it over to
Perth? I didn't make it there, no. I got very, very lazy. You know, we had planned to travel the great continent of, but then we just didn't really leave Sydney. I mean, we did. We got up to Byron Bay for a week, which was beautiful, and into Nimbin for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. It was hazy days in Nimbin.
Oh, my God. What a strange, wonderful place that was.
But, so it's true you were a backpacker when you were 18.
No, see, that's what we had claimed we were going to backpack, but we didn't. No, we got far too cosy in Sydney, and there was far too many good clubs and bars to explore, and we didn't really, we stayed there.
Everyone loves elephants. I've ridden them in Thailand. I saw the orphanage in Sri Lanka. I sponsored one in Taronga Zoo in Sydney.
Yeah.
We all love elephants. You fell in love with an elephant in this film, I bet.
Yeah, well, you know, not only was there no elephants harmed in the making of this film, there was no elephants used in the making of this film.
Where did you find one with such big
ears? Yeah, there was. Yeah, exactly. We had a wonderful actor by the name of Ed Osmond, who had stilts on the end of his arms, and he was dressed head to toe in figure hugging green spandex, God bless him, but he took it on the chin like a champ, and he obviously spent hours watching YouTube and observing baby elephants and how they moved, because he was fairly extraordinary. Yeah, he really was amazing. What he would do, and look, he was in green spandex, a suspension of disbelief wasn't really in your corner, you know, but what he would do and how he would move sometimes and how he would nuzzle into you and hide his head and look up was amazing. He did a lot of the work for us.
And
elephants are beautiful creatures, as you say, though. I mean, they're such deeply feeling creatures. They grieve and mourn so poetically, and they, you know, they say an elephant never forgets. And they
didn't get to ride one, though. Only
I'm all right with that, though.
Why?
Did I ride one back in the day in... did I get the leg over an elephant back in the day in Thailand when we were doing Alexander? I think so, yeah.
Okay. Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
Fun times alumni, Tim behind Burton, the scenes, I bet.
Tim Burton alumni, yeah. Especially Danny's a blast, man. And Michael's lovely. It was really, I felt like I was stepping in line with a family that was already existent long before I arrived, you know. It was this family of creative dysfunction that was just beautiful to be around. And obviously Tim Burton has worked with Michael and Danny a couple of times. He's worked with Ava. I think this was their third film together. So there was this deep familiarity that was on the set and part of the whole production for 6 months that was just beautiful to be a part of.
And all the circus freaks, for want of a better term, are they real circus people? Performers?
Yeah. Real freaks. We've got the real freaks in, yeah, as only Tim Burton would.
So the lunch break would have been interesting with the strong man down the corridor.
Do you know what, man? Every corner you looked on the set, there was something gorgeous and colourful and highly skilled and trained taking place. You know, there was tightrope walkers and gymnasts from Lithuania and contortionists from Mongolia and magicians from South America, and there was just this panoply of people from all four corners of the globe who are and were circus performers, and that is their livelihood. And so there was this kind of ragamuffin outsider element that was always in existence for the 6 months. They were there every single day. It was amazing to be around. You know, it felt like it was a living, breathing family of circus performers.
There is a powerful message amongst all of that.
Yeah.
And how would you describe it?
I would say this film does promote the hypothesis that generosity and compassion and kindness and inclusion are what we need more of as human beings to live, you know, peaceful, harmonious, contented lives.
Are you worried about that in this world we live in now?
Always. You know, it's always been that way. We inflict terrible cruelty on each other as human beings. We're also capable of incredible gestures of compassion and kindness. I mean, if we weren't capable and weren't constantly exacting kindness and compassion, also the planet would have fallen off its axis at this stage, because there is a lot of cruelty. You know, there's a lot of cruelty in the form of violence, and both physical and verbal, and there's also cruelty in the form of intolerance. And you know, social media is tricky now, because as it can bring people together, it's also creating an environment where people are unaccountable for the things they say and the things they do.
Well, thank you for the lovely film that is Dumbo.
Thanks, man.
See you next time.
All right, pal.
Pal. When are you and Carl going out for drinks?
Well, we had a couple at the Intercontinental.
Did you?
Yeah, but then he had to go talk to other people.
He's a good guy, isn't he? He is the guy next door.
He is very good.
Grounded.
And the film, Lucy, now, I got to say, there were others in the theatre who brought the Kleenex and used it. I brought the Kleenex and did not use it.
Okay.
And I feel that I kind of missed something. I'm not sure. Because there were, you know, when you're surrounded by people crying and you're not, does that say something about you?
Yes.
Or does that say something about the film?
It says something
about you.
No, that says
something about you. Okay. That there's something removed from you.
You're removed and tough-skinned.
Well, I love the Tim Burton touch on this, I got to say.
See, Tim Burton gives me the willies.
Not
necessarily in a good way.
Okay,
he do Alice in Wonderland?
Yes,
and
he
like,
did.
He's quite dark.
Yeah, there is a darkness to this, but that's why the lightness makes it so much more beautiful. Anyway,
okay, so
the
sad.
Kids will enjoy this. I think you will cry, Lucy. I don't think you will cry.
But if I'm going to cry, will my children cry? And I don't want them to cry.
Oh, no, because it's the happy story and the beautifulness. And it's the perfect film for Mother's Day,
Lucy.
Does
he find his mummy at the end?
The perfect film for Mother's Day. I won't spoil it now.
I don't think I would cry at a big-eared elephant.
3.5 stars for the big-eared elephant.
Oh, 3.5
stars.
That's all.
Because I just didn't cry. Yeah. I would have got an extra star for the
But maybe
kids.
You just weren't in the mood for crying. You know, it's like sometimes it's just like the time of the month where you just feel like emotional. Maybe you just didn't feel emotional.
I will say I do love that Arcade Fire, the Canadian rockers, have redone the classic song Baby Mine that was in the original, nominated for Oscars and stuff like that. So you have to stay till the end to see the credits and hear this.
And blow your nose.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Deirdre Kane's in studio. Yeah! Good morning, Deirdre
Kane. Good to see you.
I love to cheer myself in the morning.
Isn't it
all right for me?
Well done you getting in as well, because it's tricky with the school run, isn't it, at this time?
It's tricky.
What's the traffic like, Deirdre?
It wasn't bad. No, I made good time this morning.
Good. Okay. Pain in the arse, the traffic.
Just as we begin, can I just say that we're now going Facebook Live, and this is the second of the series of Drawing with Lucy.
Yeah.
Yesterday you did an amazing caricature of John
Connors.
Okay,
no, let's not call it Drawing with Lucy, because that's a bit embarrassing.
Okay, so
sketching
is
well,
good.
I've been forced to sketch. I'd rather not even include my name in this.
And sketchy is kind of dodgy as well, so that's a nice little double entendre going on there. Sketchy with Lucy.
Lucy Sketchy.
Sketchy Kennedy.
Yeah.
Sketchy Kennedy. Could be a good name, actually. Yeah. So
I drew John Connors yesterday. Needless to say, our friendship is over. So just to warn you, you might not be happy.
Yeah.
Think about what one of your kids would have drawn, maybe.
I tell you what, I don't really care. Just don't age me anymore.
Okay.
That's
fair enough.
And at the end then we get you to sign it, and then it goes up. We have a rogues gallery in the office. Well, there's only two so far.
Yeah.
And then one day we may do something with them.
Yeah. Like burn them.
I don't know what.
Now, you are aging beautifully, even though you are the busiest lady in Ireland.
Yeah,
fill us
in. Throwing money at my face, love. Literally, I take the cash and I throw it directly at my face to try and save it.
Yeah. But you've been chock-a-block since I last saw you.
I'm a busy girl. I'm still on tour, you see. I'm coming to the end of my tour, kind of more or less finishing up on Vicar Street.
Right.
Although my manager will kill me because he's just added new dates. But never mind that.
The 4th of April.
Sorry, full tour of Ireland?
I've done the full tour of Ireland. I have an extra leg has kind of been added. But I'm more or less finishing my Dublin dates now in Vicar Street on the 4th of April.
How exciting. And can we talk about your gig? Can we talk about what's in it?
The Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
It's my Dancing with the Stars show.
Okay, if you were allowed to say that.
People may have forgotten now because there was a new finalist. Although I have to say, it was my John who won this year.
It was your John.
I got
you must
him
be so
final.
Happy.
I was very happy for him. He's a good man. I was very happy for him. Yeah,
fantastic. Now I have seen this show, haven't I?
You have.
And I can safely say that I took up my inhaler during the performance. I was laughing so much.
That's a good sign.
We live together. It's not coming out till September. But honestly, it's hysterical. And then when there's just something about your face that makes me laugh. And it's
all the money that you get?
Yeah,
did I put into it?
It's the delivery. It's just the way you. It's hilarious. It is hilarious.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about one of my concerns when I was kind of took it on was that John, who's just won it, was 23 years younger than me, and I was concerned just a tad about this age gap. And then I discovered, but actually, the 23 year age gap is very popular at the moment. All the rage.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Trump and Melania being the most famous couple. Donald is older.
Yes.
And then the other couple whom I love talking about are the French president, Emmanuel Macron, and his wife, Brigitte.
Yeah.
23 year age gap there now. She's older.
She's older,
not showing enough money at that face, in my opinion.
No.
But I'm worried about Brigitte. And I can't believe that I'm going to say something sexist against my own sex, but I can't. She's a fabulous looking woman, but I'm worried about the fact that he's 40 and she's 63, which is fine. But when he's 50, she'll be 73, and when he's 60, she'll be fucking dead.
Well, God.
Wow, more good news?
Morto, you morto,
Plus, she'll I mostly think, dead. Well, I hung out with somebody who was 23 years younger than me for 4 months, and she must be exhausted.
So do you think then it's better? Actually, there's a report in the papers today saying that men in their 80s who are still getting a little bit of, let's say,
action.
Does that even happen?
Would you last
much longer. So they looked at blokes that weren't getting nothing, right?
Yeah.
In their 80s, and they looked at blokes that were getting it, and the blokes in their 80s that were getting it lasted much longer. So
lived longer.
Lived longer.
As opposed to lasted longer on the job. Yes.
There's a bit of that, isn't there?
Lived much longer. So do you think, which is better? Would you prefer 23?
I prefer them to die, personally.
Sooner rather than later.
Anna Nicole. Okay, go on. So tell us about the show then. So it's you talking about your experiences.
Yeah, well, it's the Dance with the Stars and, you know, all of that stuff, the John being younger, the pain. Like, for example, I was in quite a lot of pain. You can't go from moderate exercise three times a week to 8 to 10 hours of dancing 7 days a week without a lot of pain.
Whereabouts is the pain? Where was the worst pain?
All over my body.
She lost about 16 stone.
I did. I was massive.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
No, you were never massive, but look at her now. Like, they are like size 4 jeans for children. Yeah, they're my Holly's jeans.
They're not, but nevertheless, the pain was unreal. But Rob Heffernan, who was an Olympian and who was one of our contenders, was able to give me advice. His main advice being, Deirdre, make sure your pee is clear. Make sure your pee is clear. You have to hydrate. You have to hydrate properly. Your muscles are like sponges, right? They soak up all the moisture that's around them. And if you don't have enough moisture around the muscle, they'll seize up on you, which is what happened to my legs. They seize up on you. And then the week the snow came down, like, it was so much drama that took part in this thing. The week the snow came down, we all had to check into a hotel around the corner from here, by the way.
Gibson,
where our dance studio was just across the road. And because the roads were closed, like, the idea of not getting to dance practice was not on. There'd be no show. So we had to get there. So we were into a hotel. We were for the week, which at one point, telling you, was very nice because the hotel ran out of milk and we had to drink Prosecco. And I said to Rob Heffernan, love, my pee is not just clear, it is sparkling.
Oh, gosh. Did you? And since then, have all the pains gone away, or is there a pain that's still there?
Oh, it's like childbirth. The minute you stop, you're grand. The pain's gone, the minute you stop dancing, you're
But you loved it, though,
fine.
Didn't you? Because you were so scared doing it in the first place, and then you went, right, you threw yourself in, and my God, she can dance.
I mean, look, it was a really exhilarating, insane, I will never do anything that mental again. It was so bonkers. I can't. I mean, that's why I actually had to write a show about it. I had to process the whole thing.
So yes. In your show, do you dance?
I do at the end. I have a dummy of John.
Do you?
And I talk about the week I switched up with Vitaly, and he scared the living daylights out of me. Because do you know how the Russians teach their children, do you?
No.
They bait them with big sticks. They're like the Christian brothers in Russian. That's what they're like.
Nice.
So it was great. I had to wait for the week. So that was, I traumatised. Yeah.
Just to say, the show is at Vicar Street. It's Tuesday, the 4th of April. Some tickets still available there.
A Line of O'Kane.
So you can see.
It's a great name, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what's it called?
A Line of O'Kane.
Line of O'Kane, very good.
Yeah.
So you can see a lot of comedy and dancing with a dummy at the end. Dancing for dummies.
I also talk about turning 50 and having teenagers, so, you know.
Okay.
It's not all done.
So on the way, Lucy will reveal the caricature of the beautiful Deirdre O'Kane.
Hopefully we'll still be friends.
And let's see if it matches.
Do you think I care, love? I've seen so many bad pictures of myself now, it'll just go on the heap.
Stop.
And also, we will ask Deirdre the last 5 questions she'll ever be asked. A little bit of music first.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Oh, yes, she's been drawn.
Sketched.
Is it quite disconcerting? Do you feel like you're at your driving test? Does it feeling? I feel like, you know, when I'm drawing the celebrity.
I feel like I'm in the witness protection box.
yes. I would say, have you seen this woman? There you go. So do you want to show, just if you want to lift her up there, this is on Facebook Live as well. We'll get a little reaction.
Are you happy with it?
I actually think that's very cute. Look at the little scarf and the necklace detail
Thank you.
We did there. Very nice. And I look about 12.
She looks 4. You're welcome.
That'll go up into the Rogues Gallery. Now, Deirdre O'Kane, as we mentioned, playing Thursday, 4th of April in Vicar Street. Before we go now, we must ask you and give you your last 5 questions. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay, will I go first today?
Please do.
What was the last movie that you watched?
I watched a documentary film about the Gaza Strip.
Okay. Oh, brainy.
On Netflix?
Called Gaza.
On Netflix?
I don't think so. I was sent a link to it, but I think it's coming out.
She's very brainy.
Haven't seen that. Good?
Excellent.
Okay.
Brilliant.
What's the last takeaway you had?
She doesn't eat.
I'd say I get it from Kyoto Noodles in Dunleary there.
Oh, they are noodles from Dunleary.
Kyoto, bit of Kyoto, yeah.
Okay.
They are, Mrs.
What time do you go to bed at last night?
About midnight.
Okay. Oh, late.
Was that after your noodles?
That was after my friend who did a little clothes sale in her house and a swap and all that.
Thanks for the nod.
I went to Madagascar and the Gaiety. Look at me, I was all
the
way last
night.
Sorry,
thanks for the nod to the clothes gig.
Sure, you're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
you
know, I would always find time for secondhand clothes.
I'll let you know about the next one.
Thank you.
Okay, so this may answer that last. This question may be answered by the last one. When's the last time you wore a hat?
I don't wear hats.
Was there not one last night at the the clothes sale, no?
No.
You never
you
wear hats.
You won't catch me in a hat, love. I look...
What about a cap?
Ridiculous in a hat.
A cap. Do you not wear
what
a cap?
What about a cat?
Nothing.
No, a cap. We know you have a cat.
No,
about
love,
a cap?
I look ridiculous in hats and cats.
So was the last time, yes, was the last time maybe when you were a teenager or something?
You just won't find me in a hat. I know, a
you,
sun
you
hat.
Wear sharp
a
cap.
Sun hat on a holiday, I'd
that'll
wear.
Do.
I
that'll
would.
Do.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And finally, the last time that you cried.
Oh, probably yesterday. I'd say I'd be crying.
Probably.
On a fairly regular basis. I read. Like, I fall when I'm reading books. I'm reading Joe Biden's book called Promise Me Dad at the moment. Oh, Jesus, stop. Would you be able?
Are you just crying all the time?
Ah, crying all the time.
Would you cry at ads on television?
Sure, when people get their house done up, do you remember those changing rooms?
Yeah.
And she'd have a lovely living room. I'd be bawling at her.
I'd be bawling at her. Jealous.
Look at her. Curtains.
Jealous.
Yeah, bawling.
So it's just a tear fest all the time.
Laughing and crying.
Pretty much.
Oh, brilliant. I love
in
it.
In a nutshell, she's just a
I'm
freak.
I'm crying, laughing.
Yeah, yeah, there is a little bit of that, isn't there?
No, doesn't wear a hat, but Jesus, she'll cry the drop of a hat. There you go. Deirdre O'Kane is playing on the 4th of April in Vicar Street, and thank you so
much. Is that it? Is that it then?
I have tour dates then, which are on my website, deirdreo'kane.net, like places like Ennis, and look at me throwing that out. Yeah.
No, places throw it, like Ennis. Go for it. Places like Ennis,
and
you
I
say.
Have to go and look at the, my
website, see
website
where you are.
Myself.
Okay, have a look at our website, guys, because this woman is funny.
Brilliant. Okay, Deirdre O'Kane, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You're very welcome.
4th of April, and we will be putting up later on the picture of you with your caricature.
Oh, it's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Sorry, and Lucy's just playing the game at the
11.
Moment. That's what happened. So it's hit John Delaney's head with tennis balls, and it's a direct consequence of the game, obviously, the other day, where tennis balls were thrown all over the pitch. But Lucy mentioned on air the other day that she thought the tennis balls were being brought into the stadium to throw at John Delaney's head. We all laughed. How we laughed.
Yeah, we all
but
laughed.
How wrong were we?
We were wrong. See, I thought, like, why does everyone keep on talking about it? Because then he's going to know just to duck.
Yeah, yeah. But there was one lad, Simon Darcy, who was watching the game, and he's developed a game.
Which
where
I
you
love.
Can, you're playing it
I'm
now.
I'm playing it now.
Let's get Simon Darcy up. Simon, good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
Simon, I absolutely love this game. I'm up to 11. Is that impressive?
Very impressive. I think the best are going to get 15.
Fifteen. Okay.
Poor Johnny must have such a headache this morning.
So just to say that if you go to if you just Google actually John Delaney tennis ball game or Simon Darcy online, you'll get the game. So basically, it's John Delaney's head is spinning on the background of green.
13.
And you've got a tennis ball that you just shoot at his head. Simon, how did you come up with this?
Well, I suppose I do listen to Radio Nova and your own show.
There you go. So you heard Lucy.
So I guess maybe there was a kind of a seed of an idea there. I was watching the kind of game, and just after all kind of happened, I kind of followed Twitter during it, and I just thought that, like, more people were talking about the tennis balls than they were about the actual goal.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because it was such an amazing goal. And I just kind of thought to myself, like, I've done a few of these before, and I kind of thought, you know, it's all about the timing. So. I just kind of spent the second half building this and put it out. And
so you built it while you were watching the game in the second half. You built this game online
during the second half. I would have built that. Yes,
it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's at the moment of inspiration and kind of put it together. So kind of used I've built several games before and kind of usually around this kind of viral kind of city stuff.
Okay.
Like stuff. So it's
Simon.
So it's,
I feel like you're a genius. Are you single?
I'm not. No.
Oh, there you go. So, Simon, tell
me
this.
I've got a single friend.
How many hits do you think you have so far on this game?
So I can tell you that, like, just from yesterday alone, like, so basically when I put this out, like, I sent on a few WhatsApp groups and nobody got back to, like, not even a reaction. But then the next morning I had, like, my brother ringing me saying, I just heard on the radio something about that game you sent.
Right, yeah.
And then I just checked the stats and it was through the roof. So, like, just even yesterday, the page that's on got hit, like, 150,000 times.
Wow.
Just from, like,
my
yesterday morning.
My son is
going to
love this. So
is this the biggest game you've developed, Simon?
No. I've built a kind of few. I built one based on the Pint Man meme, which was actually kind of over a longer period. That was another one just kind of blew up. It was absolutely huge, and the reaction on Twitter and social media and stuff was insane with that one.
Simon, how do you make money from games like this?
Well, I actually don't.
Oh.
So I have a normal life by job and stuff, and this is just more of a hobby. So, I've got a programming background, but I kind of moved into a different role now. But I still kind of, in my spare time, I still kind of love the technology. It never keeps evolving, so I like to keep up to date and games is a great way of doing that. So this is just more of a kind of hobby, a bit of fun.
Right.
But what if this was an app? What if people could download this as an app on their phone?
Well, funny, that game itself is based off one of the top apps at the moment as well. So I probably wouldn't compare it to that one. That's right. Just kind of a more... So when I try and build them, they'd be more just kind of shareable online. But yeah, with apps, it's tough to market an app. It's tough to kind of get them out there.
Wow. But listen, I absolutely love it.
I haven't stopped playing it.
Lucy hasn't. I showed her Lucy. She hasn't stopped playing it. I'm just looking at her now. She's up to 9 now.
So I'm just, day. You know, I got up to 13.
She got up to 13. Just, again, you can't get past 15, can you not?
Well, I have seen people on Twitter and stuff getting 16, 17, and I even seen one guy 18, but I think he kind of faked that.
Yeah.
What if we were to do the rest of John's body and then people could just throw a ball at his whim-whams?
Yeah, totally. Like, I didn't expect it to kick off. That's just kind of a really simple version. If I'd known it was going to be so popular, I would have booked on levels or different heads.
Different parts of his body.
you move on from his head, you move on to different parts. If I can just say, if you continue listening to the Colm Lucy Breakfast Show, Lucy will throw out crazy ideas all the time for games and
yeah, Simon, let's work together.
And people can forage off her brain. Sorry, Simon.
And yourself.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you
very
much.
No, but mine actually work and make sense. That's the difference.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to put a link up to the game on Twitter, Facebook and on Nova.ie.
Yeah, well done, Simon. Yeah? Brilliant.
Listen, good talking to you, and we'll keep in contact, all right? Okay.
Have a lovely day.
Thanks very much.
See you.
Bye, Simon.
Bye-bye. So it's hit Delaney with as many balls as you can.
So simple, but oh my God, it's so addictive. Now, I am a bit not gamey, but gamery. I do like a good game.
So I'm not a bit gamey. I'm gamery.
I like games. Yeah.
You're a gamer.
I'm a gamer.
Okay, so
I'm a gamey gamer.
You can play that now on air and live. Actually, we're just playing now.
She's nine.
Go. 10. Go. 11. Keep going.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
So typically, parents get very excited when their baby says "Dada" or "Mama" for the first time. But this is brilliant, right? Joe Pitt in LA was caught on his baby's monitor dancing and singing while holding his toddler, and then saying, "Hey Google, play the Baddie song." When his young child chimed in and said, "Hey Google, listen to this."
The first words.
Everyone do the Baddie dance. Hey Google, play the Baddie song. Cleo. She just said Google.
Her first word was Google. What a modern child.
Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? That's the way the world is now, because it's usually mama, dada, or grandpa. Have a listen. Listen to the kid shouting. Just
everyone
hear the kid.
Everyone do the Baddie dance. Hey Google, play the Baddie song.
Google. I'm very impressed with that child could say Google. Like Jess. Jess, her first word was mama. I think most babies are mama.
Mama, well, isn't the big thing, the big conflict in the house, will the child say mama first or dada first? I think Holly said dada and Alex said mama. Hey, Google.
You've chosen to think that.
Well, that's the way that history has rewritten itself.
Dads like to think that they're... Mind you, the is easier than the...
But then as they grow up, kids do say the strangest things, don't they?
Yeah.
And because this week we're giving away those tickets, those family passes to the amazing Lugwood's Easter Egg Hunt, what is it? Everyone's got something that their kids have said. That crazy... Could be the first word. It could be just something they just said that just sticks in your mind all the time.
First words.
I remember my little nephew could never say... He could never pronounce T,
yes,
the letter T.
T.
He could never say T. So when he actually saw, we were in a... I always remember this day, we're in a chipper. He's about 5 years of age, and he just passed by. He shouted in the middle of the chipper, "Look at the size of that big fuck!" He meant to say truck.
Oh.
But he can only use the letter F instead of truck. I know, and it was like, no, it's okay. It's just his teeth. It's okay, it's his teeth, he's fine. He meant truck.
They can't say certain letters.
Yeah.
Just can't say S.
S, okay.
She just can't say the S. That's very cute. Let us know anyway, your child's first word.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just thinking, Holly used to say tenchiment. Because she was sick, we'd all say, does she have a bit of a temperature? But she could never say temperature.
Yeah.
So she used to go around, she'd come in and say, I have a tenchiment.
Yeah, tenchiment. And also, Pischetti is another one.
Pischetti. If you've got one at 087-1818-100, kids, they do say the darnest things.
You know, good morning, Halls, if you're listening, but Halls would call our iPad a hi-pad.
iPad, yeah, yeah, okay.
Did you say, Mommy, can I use your iPad?
Well, Holly used to say, this is my Holly. God, it's with the Hollies, isn't it? Instead of handbag, hambag. Because she thought that's where Anne kept her sandwiches.
Yeah, handbag.
So she'd say, don't forget your handbag today.
Yeah.
Heidi, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, Heidi, how are you today?
Good morning.
Good, thanks,
Terry. Okay, what have you got?
A couple of things.
Good.
I can't remember the first word. I think it was probably Dada or something.
Yeah.
But I remember putting my tights on one. It was a winter's morning, so it's those thick tights that you wear.
Mm.
And my son turned around at me horrified. Mom, what are you doing? You can't wear those. They're for superheroes.
Brilliant. And he was probably right. What else did he do?
I remember him saying to me that his third head was itchy. What are you talking about? Third head.
Yeah.
And then I realised that it's his forehead he was talking about.
His first, second, and his third head. That's brilliant. Yeah. What age is he now?
He's 9 now. He's sitting in the car here when he's about to go to school.
What's his name?
Arthur.
Oh, morning, Arthur. Good man.
Morning.
Good morning. Arthur.
How are you doing? What a great name, Arthur. I love that name.
It's a strong name. It's a strong name. Remember King Arthur. Have a good day, Arthur. Thanks, Heidi.
Bye, guys. Bye. Have a lovely day.
They're two strong names, aren't they? Heidi and Arthur.
Yeah, great names.
We have Jackie
as
well.
Jackie, good morning.
Good morning, Colm and Lucy.
How have you recovered from the 12 parties of Christmas?
I know, so that happens in my house every Friday. Every Friday.
Yes, I know. You still have that crazy little setup. It was like a scene from Monty Python. About 856 people were in your gaff.
Yeah.
That's our first
party that we went to. That's right. As well. Yeah.
That's right. It was the best party too.
Of course it was. How is life?
Life is good. I'm just on the beach with my friend Una, who you would have met at my party.
Yeah.
You good for a little walk?
Yeah, we're going for a little walk. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about your nephew. Was it your nephew?
No, my daughter. She'll kill me now because she's 18 now.
Okay.
But her first word was actually Dadden. She called her dad Dadden for years.
Love
Dadden. But we went to see Over the Hedge, and she would have been very small, maybe 3 and a half, maybe 4.
Yeah.
And there's a skunk. The character is a skunk, and she's got all these. Army dude. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So she throws a hand grenade, and she goes, "Fire in the hole!" Mm. But Alison went around and said, "There's a fire in my hole."
I love it.
Alison.
But then I have my best friend has twins.
Yeah.
Okay, and the girl, there's a girl and a boy, Anne and Roisin, if they're listening. Roisin used to say when she did something wrong, she used to say, "The right side of my brain made me do it." That was scary. That wasn't funny. That was actually just
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's creepy.
The right side
of my brain made me do it.
I love it. That is scary.
What a bright child.
Yeah.
Jackie, enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Have a lovely day. Happy walking.
See you. Bye bye.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Good morning. There we were talking earlier on, actually, this, which is up on Twitter now, if you follow us on Twitter. And it's this
Colm and Lucy K.
Colm and Lucy K. And it's this kid. And the first word they said was, "Hey, Google." You want mama and dad, but they went, "Hey, Google." And people have been texting with the strange things their kids have said. Somebody said, this is very good. "My niece used to struggle with her K's," right? The letter K.
Yeah.
So on Christmas morning, so think of she, instead of K, she'd say T. So whatever the word K is, she'd say. On Christmas morning, she had received a toy kitten and shouted while we were all sat at the table, "I love the titty. Uncle Steve, do you love the titty?"
Oh, lovely.
And everyone else saying, "No, she means the kitty. It's the kitty she means." I love it. Isabel, this is somebody's text in saying, "My daughter Isabel says teacups instead of hiccups."
So she says, "I have the teacups."
Yeah.
I love that. That's cute.
While driving past a farm, my young daughter said, "Can you smell the cleavage instead of the silage?"
Brilliant.
I love it.
Brilliant.
Oh, God, it's some of them. Oh, some kids are rude as well, which is great. There was one more there, actually, that came up. My son, when he was 6, asked, could he open the Calpol bottle, to which I responded, he couldn't as it was child locked. He thought for a moment and then asked, "How did it know that a child was opening it?"
That's clever.
Yeah, isn't it?
That is a little bit genius.
Yeah. My daughter can't pronounce her Y like yogurt instead of yogurt, so she says logurt. Oh, but also, when logurt. She's done a poo, she shouts, "Mom, will you wipe my bum? I've done a lucky instead of a yucky poo."
I've done a lucky. Cute.
So people in the toilets find it hilarious because they shout, "Oh, look, you've done a lucky." I know. Lorraine is on the line as well. Lorraine.
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hello, Lucy. Hi, Callum.
How are you?
Good morning.
You sound very sprightly and busy.
Oh, absolutely. I have a 2-year-old shadow of me here trying to talk to you.
Oh, what is your 2-year-old's name?
He is called Duke. Say hi, Duke.
Hey, Duke.
Hi.
Duke. Good.
Hi,
cool
Duke.
Name.
Yeah.
Cool name.
How are you doing?
Hi.
He's
in good form, but in top five.
Is he watching Peppa Pig?
He is.
Welcome to my world.
When you go on the phone, they all are up.
It's
full and games.
What have you got for us, Lorraine?
Our other little boy, Coles, when he was 3, he couldn't manage to tell the difference between an alligator and a crocodile.
Right.
So he came out all by himself and told us it was a crocigator.
So
from now on, yeah, it's so cute. Now we've just called it that since. So in our house, it's a crocigator.
Crocigator.
Yeah. I love it.
Very
cute. Very cute.
Love it, Lorraine. Thank you. That's a good one.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye. Have a lovely day.
Now, we're talking about it inside here, and people with the Nova kids in here and all the strange things. Holly thought it was a handbag, not a handbag. Marty Miller.
Yo.
What's going on in your family?
How you doing?
I think I have an alcoholic 2-year-old.
Already? Wow. Okay, yeah.
Well.
What's the story?
Like they say, the apple doesn't fall
from the tree. I know. On Friday, just gone, it was one of those sort of afternoons where come sort of 5 o'clock, it's like, will we have a glass of wine?
Yeah.
D. And D, who does lunchtimes here on Nova.
Was it really 5 o'clock, Marcy?
It was about half one. She was technically still on the radio.
Technically, she was still in the workplace. Right. Yeah.
So anyway, it's like, will we have a little cheeky glass of wine? And Dee was like, yeah, let's have a cheeky glass of wine. Next thing, I'll just play this from my phone, right?
What's wrong?
I want a glass of wine.
That is hysterical.
Brilliant.
How did Dee keep a straight face when she laughing
at her? Just to be clear, she thinks a glass of wine
is
sparkling water.
Okay. Yeah.
This is for the social services that are listening.
Yes. No, Marcia, no, you're so
they're
right.
They're already in their car.
No, you're so right. We're the same, yeah. Marcia thinks it's Ribena or black currant. Yeah. Is this red or white?
Yeah. It's white. It's white. Oh,
okay,
it's sparkly.
Right, so yeah.
But it's technically Prosecco she's looking for.
She's got good taste.
They see the profound effect that wine has on the parents. Makes them so relaxed and allow them run out the back door and everything. So they want it as well.
I love it. But what you can't obviously see there, because this is the radio, but she's actually falling around her bedroom demanding a glass of wine.
She's so upset.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
That's it from the Colm and Lucy podcast. We'll have another podcast up next week, and remember, you can join us live on the radio, Radio Nova, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10.
The Colm and Lucy podcast, seriously addictive podcasting
from Nova.ie and Radio Nova.